We've been in the series called Base Camp, and the idea is that there are things in life of what it means to follow Jesus. And so whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, we hope that this has been and continues to be something that, challenges you, that encourages you, that equips you to more live like Jesus lived, to more live in the way that Jesus taught to live. This morning, we're going to look at this concept of suffering, this topic of suffering. And I know what you want me to say. You probably want me to say, well, didn't we just spend 4 months in 1 Peter that talked about suffering? Can't I just go home and listen to all the podcasts? Yes, is the answer. You could go do that, and you can go do that. Today, I want to take it from a little bit different angle than most of what Peter was talking about in that letter. And today, not so much of persecution, not so much that you kind of live the right way and this happens, but what about those difficulties in life that kind of come at us? That you wake up one day and something happens and you didn't do anything. You didn't, quote unquote, deserve it. Maybe you've been around people like that, that you're saying, why did that happen to them? That's kind of a little bit of what I want to talk about this morning. Because in moments like that, when difficult times come, you know, we need perspective. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where Paul talked about a perspective that he gained. I've been in situations like that. When I was in college, I had corrective foot surgery on both of my feet at different times, but 6-month kind of process through each of them. And so we got to know the podiatrist quite well. And we spent several years with her in her office as we kind of prepped for surgeries and talked through all that stuff. And she was not a particularly religious person, but we had a lot of banter back and forth. And my dad was often in the room, and my dad's been in ministry longer than I've been alive. And so he and her would often banter back and forth. And I can remember one particular day as she was prepping me for a surgery, she made this comment, and it's all about perspective. She said, you know what? Okay, we're ready. We're going to fix the thing that God didn't do for you. And she wasn't being mean or irreverent or anything like that. That was just like, you know, she was just kind of, you know, bantering with us. And so I said right back to her, I said, well, he's doing it now. There might be situations in life where there might be more than one view on things. There might be situations in life that are a bit more complex than we tend to think that they are. Paul had an experience like that. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It'll also be on the screen. But Paul had an experience. He had experience with a limitation in his life that if you looked at it and if you came across him and his initial response to it was, I got to get rid of this. But there was something more going on. And I hope you see through this passage, there's a lot going on here. But for our purposes today, I hope we would be encouraged to see that the limitations that seem like limitations may actually be the arena for God to do something good, for God to bring about good in your life. That what tends to stop you may actually be the way that God's going to push you forward. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 7, but as we do that, would you say a word of prayer with me? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what today, truly today, means in the marker of the life of CPC. We thank you for the life of this faith community, Congregation Beth Jacob. We thank you for what's ahead, but we pause today to hear what you want to say to us here in this moment. For those who are coming in, God, with stories and maybe experiences that are going to connect with Paul's experience, that you would encourage us to see the world through a different lens today, that we would then live in a different way than when we started and woke up today. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you are good to us and have good for us because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, the second half of it goes like this. Paul says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Now, if you're like me, a church person, this is like one of those passages that just gets taught over and over again. So you probably have heard it. But maybe let me point out a few things that maybe you haven't really focused in on enough. Paul's going through a spiritual experience here. And it was such a spiritual experience that he says something happened to him in the midst of that that would keep him from becoming conceited. And he says it's a messenger of Satan to torment him. So a couple things about this already off the top. One is that we can see whatever Paul's going through is real. He talks about it being in the flesh. What's also interesting is it's something done to him. It's not like he went a wrong way. It's not like he lived life the wrong way. And as a result, he got these consequences given to him. But he says this was done to him. This was given to him. A thorn was given to him. And there are a lot of ideas of what the thorn is. And I don't even really want to go there for our purposes today, because what the thorn was isn't as important as what happened to Paul as a result of it. So Paul has this experience that's very real. It's a difficult experience, as we're going to see. It's something he doesn't want, but it happens to him. And we are told off the beginning, as he looks back on this experience, he actually points out two purposes for this thorn. The first purpose that he shows is that this thorn was meant to torment him. He calls it, in fact, a messenger of Satan. Pretty interesting phrase. Paul, looking back on his experience with this particular situation, whatever it was, he said, you know, there's a purpose in that, and it was for the evil one to torment me. But there's a second purpose in there as well. And you may not see it immediately, but if you go back, it says at the beginning that in order to keep me from becoming conceited, Paul said there was another purpose in this thorn. Whatever this issue was that he was going through, the part of the purpose was to torment him. That was part of Satan's agenda. But there was also another purpose, to keep him from becoming conceited. That's not part of Satan's agenda for Paul. Satan has no interest in keeping Paul from becoming conceited. So there must be something else going on. There must be something good for Paul happening. There must be something that whatever's going on in this difficulty and this suffering, this thing that we're going to see in the next couple of verses that he doesn't want, there's something going on here that's working for his good, that's transforming him from being a person that theoretically could become conceited because of his spiritual experience, but will not be conceited. We see immediately as we start this passage that the thing that torments him is also the arena that God is going to use to bring good. Verse 8 goes like this. Three times, Paul said, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This verb here, plea, is a verb in the original language that means that it's a request for someone to come near. Paul says, God, I want you to come near in the midst of my difficulty, in the midst of my suffering. You know that. You've probably have prayed that. I've prayed that. God, I can't endure this anymore. Can you just come near? You probably prayed that for people. God, be near to this person. That's what Paul is saying here. He's asking that God would come near to him because he doesn't want this. He prays. He tells us, looking back on this story, he says, I pray that three times that God would take it away from me. For those of us who know where this passage is going, it's easy for us to think, that Paul was just kind of enduring this and, you know, kind of all this, you know, glow and the, you know, above him halo kind of thing. But no, this he was feeling something and experiencing something that he did not want. It came to him and he wanted nothing to do with it. Three times he asked God to take it away. And then this happens, verse 9, beginning of verse 9. But, Paul looking back says, but God said to me, and here he puts in the words of Jesus, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Verse 9 begins with a surprise. But he said to me, of which I would think, or I would expect, that we would see, and God removed the thorn. I mean, here's Paul. Of anyone who deserved relief from his torment, it was this guy who was going around the world living the way of Jesus, establishing churches in the way of Jesus. If anyone we could look back on and say, okay, of all the people who deserved relief from their torment, Paul would be near the top of that list. But verse 9 begins with a surprise. God doesn't remove the thorn. If you're like me reading this, I have questions about that. God, why would you not remove this? Don't you care for Paul? Don't you care that he would be released from this torment? I mean, think about it. Your kids are in a difficult situation. They're struggling. And I imagine as parents, I'm not a parent, but I've been around enough parents and walked with enough parents through family stuff, that their first desire is, how do we release our children from this pain? I would give anything to release my children from this pain. You've been there, maybe. You would sell everything. You would give all of your energy and your time for them to be free from whatever is tormenting them. unless maybe that arena means something better for them than relief from the pain. Maybe there's something more going on here. What if God removing this torment from Paul meant removing Paul from the arena of growth that he wanted to bring to him? What if there's more going on to the situation than Paul originally saw? What if God has a better good for him than simply removing the pain? And here's how God wants to transform Paul. He says this through the words of Jesus, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." What is grace in this particular context? I think it's the favor of God to sustain Paul. It's the favor of God to sustain him when he could not maintain himself. It's the favor of God that says, "I'm not removing this torment from you, Paul, but I'm going to uphold you within it." And then he says this fascinating phrase, that my power is made perfect in weakness. In the original language, the phrase is this, that my power comes to full strength. Think about that, Paul. When you're out of strength, that's when my power comes to full strength. When Paul was at his lowest, interesting enough, he's also at his strongest. God was at work in Paul's life in ways that surpassed his ability to continue. I find this incredibly fascinating. I find it incredibly fascinating. I think that's where Paul's going to, as we continue through these next set of verses, is going to go. He's going to change his way of thinking. He's going to change his way of living because he's discovered that God works in a way in this world that we often don't expect, that we often don't default to. Paul learned that, you know what? Getting the pain away isn't necessarily what it's all about. Maybe God's at work in ways through that pain. Maybe God's going to use that arena to bring good to him. Maybe those who get to the end of it all find something that those of us who never do don't find. Maybe those who are at the end of the line find that they're at a new start. Maybe those of us who have poured energy and time and dedication and resources but still can't get ahead, maybe you find that you're actually moving forward. Maybe those who think they're far from God are actually closer than they could ever imagine. Maybe that arena of limitation where everything is gone is a place where God's grace and power shows up in a fresh new way. See, Paul learned a new way that God's working in the world. In a world that despises limitations, Paul says, no. In that arena right there is where God is at work to bring good. And because Paul had that experience, because Paul went through this with this thorn, because Paul heard the voice of Jesus that his grace and power was enough for him, Paul did two things. One, he changed his way of thinking, and then he changed his way of living. First, you see his way of thinking change at the second half of verse 9. "Therefore, in light of everything that just happened, in light of what I've heard God say to me and what I've experienced in this, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." He says that he will boast more gladly. It's a comparative form there. In other words, here's how he used to view the world. He used to view the world as, if I don't suffer, everything's great. But now he sees something more. Now he's going to boast more gladly in those moments. Not only that, he says that in those moments, when he's at his lowest, when the limitations are at their strongest, in that moment, Christ's power rests upon him. What's interesting, that phrase, "rest upon me," in the original language, it's a word, it's a big verb, but the root of that verb means to take up residence. If you're familiar with the Gospel of John and his telling of the story of Jesus, he uses this phrase that God put on flesh and dwelt among us. It's that same verb. So the plea that Paul asked for, this plea, this calling of God to come near, he actually does come near, but in a way that Paul didn't expect. Paul wanted God coming near to remove the thorn, remove the pain. And what God came near, he did come near to Paul, but he didn't come near to remove the thorn. He came to give grace and power in the midst of it. And then Paul learns that. Paul sees something that God's working in a way in the world that we often don't pay attention to. And then he says this. He says, you know what? Because of all that, because I've learned all of that, I'm now going to live a whole new way. Because it's one thing just to learn something. It's one thing to come here. It's one thing to go to the Fox. It's one thing to hear more information. It's one thing to become more smarter. That doesn't really work. Become smarter. It's one thing to build your intellect. But if it doesn't impact how you and I are living, is it really worth it? So Paul learned something. He experienced how God was at work in the world through him. So then he started to live differently. And this is where it just gets really weird. Because listen to verse 10. He says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says, I delight now in those things. It's a word that means he sees it as something valuable, as something worthy of choice, is what the original word means, delight. That this is worthy of choosing and celebrating. Because of this experience with the thorn in the flesh, he now lives in a new way. And it's weird. Paul celebrates those things that often pull us down. Paul is the guy that wakes up tomorrow morning with the flu and shouts for joy. Paul's the guy who gets sabotaged by his close friend and throws a party. Paul's the guy whose coworkers block him from advancements and seek his harm and speak badly about him. And you can picture him with a wide smile going across his face. Who does that? Who celebrates in this particular way? Who looks at their limitations and their difficulties and says, this is amazing? He does. Not because he got some spiritual enlightenment, but because he learned that in those moments, he gets a deeper, more intense receipt of God's grace and power. Could it be? And I'm speaking to myself here as much as us together. Could it be that we try to get out of situations and miss the depth of the grace and the power of God? Could it be that we're pleading and pleading and pleading and pleading that God would take away, name your limitation? We're pleading that he would come near to remove it, and we're not realizing he's come near to give grace and power in it. Could God be working in a way maybe that you and I often haven't stopped to notice? What Paul talks about here is a paradox. It's a paradox that those at the bottom may be at the top, that those at the end may actually be at the beginning of something new. One of my favorite prayer books I've used here often, The Valley of Vision, it starts with this prayer of paradox. I want to read a few lines to you. It won't be on the screen. You can just listen. Here's paradox, the author of this says. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is a victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is a place of vision. Could it be that when you have nothing but the grace of God, you have everything? Could it be when you have nothing but the power of God, you have everything? That is what Paul learned. And that so transformed his way of thinking and the way that he viewed the world. He said, bring it on. And he now lived out a whole new way because of the grace and the power of God toward him. I don't know about you, but I often probably don't stop enough to notice the grace and the power of God in situations where I often wouldn't expect to see it. I know I can gather in a church setting or a spiritual community or a conversation, and I can be more alert and aware of the grace and power of God. But what if there are arenas right now that God's at work? What if there are arenas in your life that God is at work that we often don't stop to see his grace and power? That's what I love about today, that we take this marker today to mark the past 5 years. Because this grace and power that he talks about is not just for you and I as we sit at home and deal with our individual lives and individual families and individual work, but it's for us collectively. It's for us to be reminded that grace and power is all around us. And so that's why I wanted to take a few moments. I want to do that now to give us a few moments as a church to remember the grace and power of God at work. What's happened these past 5 years? Tony Conti is going to have a microphone. If you want to share, you're sharing stories. You're sharing people's memories. You're sharing your memories and their names and their experiences. Because they all flow out of grace and power from God. So if anyone has anything to share, I want to take a few moments to do that. I'm going to have Gary come in a few minutes after that. And as we mark this season together. Does anyone have any stories of how they've seen God's grace and power at work in this particular community over these past 5 years? Someone's going to have to go first, or else it's going to be really awkward. I know for me, coming here, and Hillary and I coming here 6 months ago and seeing how many people serve. You know, seeing, you know, Ron, I'll point, you know, there's 100 people I could point out. I know Ron Morris getting here is he here at 3:30 in the morning? I don't know what time Ron gets here. You know, somewhere, I've tried to beat him multiple times. It's never worked. But when I see that, and I see so many of you serving, I see the grace and power of God at work. Where else have you seen the grace and power of God at work these last few years? All right. It's on. I think you're good to go.
It's on. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, I have to say that when I made the decision to come to this campus, I was pretty broken. And I was baptized here. Although I'd been a Christian for many years, I really felt called to renew my commitment. Mm-hmm. And I was baptized here that first Easter. Mm-hmm. And I will always remember that swimming pool over there. And this has just been a really rich community and so many amazing relationships formed. I'm just so excited what we're all going to do going forward.
Yeah. Thank you, Marilyn.
Well, there's a lot of things, but I just want to direct something to Gary. The one thing, it's been such an amazing blessing, just the grace that you've shown us and your whole congregation has shown us in the times that we've overlapped and met each other. But I did learn one thing, because every time we sit here, of course, we've got several of your books here, your holy books. So so Baruch Ado Adonai Eloi.
He'll say it in a minute when you come up. He can say it.
Yeah. Am I even within a little bit of it? Okay. Blessings on you, our Lord, our God. Something to that effect. So anyway, thank you.
I'm Robin, and I just want to say thanks, everyone, for just allowing me to serve you in worship. Before my time at CPC, I was like a bird without a song. I was in a place where I was unable to serve at my home church, but Matt brought me in here, and long story short, my husband was out of work at the time we got pregnant with our third child. But God used the time here at CPC South, as well as a couple other churches, and the financial compensation that came through leading worship, God met to the T my prenatal care for Wesley. And I was just blown away. And you guys have become my family. I'm about to cry. And just also the series that this church has been through, the Romans and the Nehemiah series, but that's wrong. It's not the
Joshua.
The Joshua, thank you. Yeah. The Joshua series really spoke to my heart when I felt like I was in a place of spiritual dryness. And I felt like just being here in this community has allowed me to grow deeper with the Lord. So just thank you so much for growing me. And I love you.
First time I stepped foot in this building was 1982. I was a firefighter in Menlo Park, and this place was on fire. At that time, I was not a Christian. And here, these many years later, I'm a Christian. I'm in this building where, at that time, the rabbi was searching for his scrolls. The place wasn't completely Torah. This place wasn't completely devastated, but it was pretty wrecked up. And who would have thought in 1982, and not being a Christian, that in 2017, I'd be standing right here with my Christian family. What a blessing.
Wow. Thank you.
So my name is Gina, and I was blessed to be part of the team to be on staff here to launch this campus with many other people here. And my story is, my short little story is, in the grace and power of God, is that I think I was here about 2.5 years, and I left my role as the director of kids ministries, and it was a really difficult time, but the grace of God and the love of God's people got me through such an amazing time of transformation in my life. It was hard to do. It was hard to do. But by the grace of God, there was pure love, pure forgiveness. We actually decided, my husband and I, we've been part of this church for 30 years, but to just take a couple years of a break. We didn't know how long it would be, but we trusted God. And, you know, by God's grace and power and leaning into him and calling out to him, he came upon us and brought us back here. Mm-hmm. And it was just a beautiful thing. It was hard. It was painful. I'm not going to lie. Like, we had no plans on ever leaving. We had bigger plans when we thought we were going to come into South Campus. Mm-hmm. But God did something bigger and better in us. And it was hard. And it was definitely laid his hand on my weakness. But great transformation. And I'm a witness to his power, his loving power and saving grace. So.
My name is Nathan. I'm Gina's son. The church is not the building, it's the people, right? But this place has really just blessed me personally. I spent most of my teens here, went through the high school program, junior high program here, and just the blessing that this place has been and the people. And I've been on missions trips and been out of country for a little while, and it's been just the love of the people here and the support, and it's been a huge blessing in my life. And so I'm just really grateful for, just Beth Jacob for having us, and, this time here is just an amazing, amazing blessing and gift from God that you're able to bless us with using your facilities. Thank you.
We'll do a couple more here.
I never like to stand up, but I can't not say anything. It's been, most of you know I was raised in synagogue, and so it's really such a sweet thing to be back here. And we've had women's Bible study here, and Gary has been so gracious. As many times I've run to him, where are we? What's going on? And he's helped us setting up. So it's been such a privilege. Forgive us for sneaking in non-kosher food unknowingly. And I just feel like it's been such a privilege to be here, because I feel like God's building us and has built us in the last 5 years in unique ways, and that we really do care about one another, and there's something different happening. And I believe Dom is really God's man for such a time as this, as he leads us into the flock. So I'm just grateful to God and to all of you and to the and Temple Beth Jacob for being so kind and generous. Thank you.
Let's do one more. One more. We'll transition. So one more. So we got a hand there? Divine? Here we go.
Here it come.
Tony's getting his workout today.
Hi, my name is Divine, and I can say that our family grew in this church. So when we decided to move to South, when we started, it was always has always been a family decision, and we are blessed that our kids grew here. My daughter was just in grade school. She's in high school. She was baptized here. Our son was just a toddler, and now he's in grade school. And we'd like to thank Gina's team and all Linnell and all the loving people who served at the children's ministry. And moving forward, it's always still a family decision at how. We have seen that God has used this church to help our family grow, to help our children grow in faith, and we thank you for that.
Yeah, great. I hope you hear these examples and these stories that represent all of our stories of how God's grace and power shows up in ways that maybe even as you're thinking through your story, you know, maybe you think, well, I don't know if I necessarily saw it there, but looking back, you can. Maybe there are ways that God's at work right now in your life, to bring grace and power in ways that you didn't expect. I hope you take that with you as we kind of wrap up our season here at Congregation Beth Jacob. Gary, would you come? I want to give Gary a moment here. He asked to come a few weeks back, and you can come on up a stage. I know this. I hope you guys have had a chance to say hi to Gary. If you haven't, we'll make him stick around a little bit, and you can give him shake his hand. He's a great guy. I've really enjoyed the few months I've been here and to get to know him. You can use this if you want, Gary, if you want to pull that forward. Charlie Royce has been kind of our main point of contact and kind of with our church team. And you want to come up, Charlie? That'd be great. Yeah. So, if you don't know Charlie's role in the church, he kind of does everything. But he's been kind of really our relationship with Gary in a lot of ways. And so I've benefited from that coming in and knowing they've had a strong relationship. So you asked for a few minutes. I don't know what he's going to say.
Before I say anything, so hopefully it's good. Yeah. It's Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. That's for all our prayers.
Why can't you get that, Mike? Come on.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. The Torahs, if they burn, they can't be used again. They're actually buried right outside here. And we thank the fire department. We're actually going to be part of the Redwood City 150th anniversary. We are going to be having a special Saturday morning celebration to honor the firemen. And we're trying to track down those who helped put out the fire that night.
Wow.
And this whole room was... I saw pictures of the morning after. It is... Actually, it looks a lot now like it looked like before the fire. They actually rehabilitated pretty much the same. But I want to say thank you to everybody here. Okay. On behalf of the board of directors, on behalf of the clergy, and on my own behalf, those of us members of the community of Congregation Beth Jacob, we view this as a synagogue. You from Central Peninsula Church view this as your church. And you know what this means? Together, we view it as a house of God. We brought both faiths in. We bring multiple faiths in, and it makes a difference. This is a spiritual home. This was actually my first church that I ever sat through a service. I've been to a couple Catholic funeral masses. That's about it. And I must tell you, I very much enjoy the days when I'm here for other things, popping in, listening to your prayers, listening to Dominic, listening to Sean before him. It's been moving. It's been very much eye-opening, and I wish I could take some of what you do to our Saturday service, but I'm not the rabbi. I am not clergy. I look at for various paths to God. That's what I tell everyone who wants to join here. And everything, just, there's some, I'll get right to it. Jews don't talk about God. You do. You talk about how God is in your life. And part of me is jealous because I feel it. I got here because of God, but that's okay. But I just want to wish everybody here the best of luck. I'm going to miss many of you. Some of you I'm not going to miss because I'm going to get to see them on Wednesdays.
Yeah, no.
And we've talked to Dominic. We've talked to Charlie about you were open for other evenings, for other programming you want to do here in Redwood City for South. We're open for business. Mm-hmm. We want to help. We want you to see us, even though you're down the Fox on Sundays. And thankfully for my budget, Sundays are now full. But during the week, by all means. Or if you just want to pop in and say hello, please do.
That's great.
Just thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
And best of luck.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, please, thank you so much, Gary. We really appreciate, we're all saying it, the hospitality. In fact, I was talking to Gary just before we came up here, and I said, thank you so much for letting us in your house. And he said, it's our house. Actually, it's God's house. Oh. And that's how we should really be looking at it, and we do. And thank you so much. It's been a long journey to even get here. I think those of you who remember, as we looked and looked and looked for a place in Redwood City, and interestingly enough, there was another church before us that left. And at that time, we worked with Eric Stone. We want to thank Eric for that time. I mean, I can just imagine what it was like for Gary to come to Redwood City and find out, what? We have a church meeting in our synagogue? But he welcomed us with open arms and, you know, didn't. Everything that we had agreed upon with Eric, he did that much and more and just have been very welcoming. So, I mean, he could have easily made it more difficult for us, but no, you made it so much nicer and we really appreciate that. So thank you so much for this opportunity. And I have to tell you one more thing. So when I let Gary know that we were going to look for someplace else, he said, I don't think you're going to find any place else. And he said, but if you look for another place, we're going to find another church. And guess what? Yeah. We found another place. They found another church. Yeah. So God just worked it out for all of us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
As the band's going to come up and during next prayer, but I want to take a moment and pray for Gary, for Congregation Beth Jacob. New Beginnings Church is coming in a few weeks after us. So praying for them, that God would continue to stir and work through them. Pray for our move. So can we do that? Can you join with me in a word of prayer? And then the band will come up and we'll close out. God, thank you for Gary and who he represents at this congregation, Beth Jacob, for their hospitality, for them exemplifying your generosity and your way of living. Thank you for them exemplifying your grace. And we pray, God, that you would continue to pour out your blessing on your people, on this house, this place that is yours. Thank you for the stories, even as we've heard earlier, that connect us back decades earlier than we thought, and the stories that will continue in the future. Pour out your blessing upon this congregation, this community of faith, on Gary and the team that he represents. We pray for new beginnings as they're coming in, that you and your work in this world would continue to be lifted up in this particular place. For us, Father, as we move forward to a new venue, that we would not lose sight of the grace and power that you are actively at work displaying. Maybe in ways that we didn't expect, maybe in ways that we're not even looking, maybe in arenas that we wanted to get out of, you are ready to show your grace and power. Would we be ready and receiving that personally and as a community? Thank you, God, for what you've done here over these past 5 years, for the people that have come through who are not here physically today. We remember them. And the work that they've put into this place and being faithful to your call. Pray all these things, Father, that you would do a great work through this community and all that reside here. Amen.